Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8 o'clock, 37 seconds of Saturday morning, and the Nets win again and again and again. Good morning, everybody. It's Nats First Pitch. Pete Medhurst with you up until 9 o'clock as the Nationals, with their win on Wednesday, got to 10 games over for the first time this year. And the best time to be hitting marks like this is in August and September, because now they sit at 11 games over 500 for the first time. Every time Charlie and Dave knock off one of these landmarks along the way, you kind of allow yourself to go, man, this is really happening. Because we all continue to go back and make reference to when this club was sitting at 19-31, sometimes pro teams pack it in. This team didn't pack it in. From a management standpoint and an on-field standpoint, they never gave up on their manager. And last night, Patrick Corbin had to weasel himself out of jam after jam after jam. He basically stood there with a megaphone and said, "Hello, Milwaukee Brewers. Welcome to D.C. You have two strikes. I'm going to throw you a slider." And guess what? Time after time after time after time, he pitched his way out of it. It was nerve-wracking if you're watching the game for a Nationals fan. In my case, I'm listening to it as I was power washing on the pool deck until late into the night. And every time Charlie and Dave were talking about slider, swing and a miss. And the Brewers are one of those clubs. They're like the ASA, Class A, Coors Light, you know, all-star softball team. It's feast or famine with the Brewers. Like it is in Major League Baseball. It's not just them. They're not the only team. They either club extra base hits or they strike out. It's really a disturbing trend where the game is going. You know, there are far fewer guys that hit in the realm of Rod Carew, Wade Boggs, you know, guys that'll hit 340, you know, ton of extra base hits, mainly doubles, and hit for high average. Now everybody makes money because they hit the home run. And that's what we're seeing around the league. So Patrick Corbin took advantage of that last night. Now, if you're a pitcher and that slider doesn't bite, then obviously you run into major issues. But for Patrick Corbin, when he needed that pitch, he got it. And Mike Rizzo continuing to retool the bullpen. Daniel Hudson came in, seventh inning. Struck out two. Hunter Strickland strikes out one in the eighth. Sean Doolittle walked the leadoff man in the ninth and then rather easily got out of it with a strikeout, his 28th save of the season. And the Nationals today, you know, continue to have the math looking their way. The Dodgers rallied to beat the Braves last night. Mike Soroka had the Dodgers at bay for a little while. And then, remember a couple of years ago when Sean Newcomb was a great starter for the Braves? Well, he is now part of, as the junkies would like to say, the Braves' poopy pen. Because let's face it, the team that wins the East, it's whose pen is going to get better. And right now, at the trade deadline, everybody lauded the Braves for the deals they made for Green and Melanson. And said, okay, well, the Nats did something, but that's not as good as what the Braves did. right now, in terms of production, the Nats' moves are just pwning what the Braves did. Newcomb comes in, and he got nuked. 4 in the 7th for the Dodgers, 2 in the 8th. They rallied for the 8-3 victory last night in Atlanta. And as a result of that, the Nats sit at 4.5 games back again. They've been to this part. They're right on the sidewalk now to the Braves' house again. They've been right there. They've pulled up in front of the house, all pumped up, like, yeah, we're going to roll in there. We're going to crash this party. And then they get cold feet, kind of like A-Wad when it comes to his favorite chicks. But you almost feel that this is different this time. The problem for the Nats is this Brew Crew Club can start to bang the ball at any point. And that's a challenge throughout this coming weekend. We know Max Scherzer's not going to throw now in a game. He's going to do another simulated game. And again, here's why this is a good deal by the Nationals. It's you're still leading the wild card. You're holding everybody at bay in the wild card. You've closed back to within 4.5 of the Braves. You've won 5 games in a row. Phillies haven't been able to gain any ground on you. They've been red hot this week. They've hit dramatic home runs. Bryce Harper's had a great week for the Phillies. Undeniable. But they've gained no ground on the Nats. In fact, they've lost the game. Philadelphia's played one of its better stretches of baseball here recently, and they've lost ground to you in the wild card race. So you don't have to rush Max Scherzer back. Joe Ross and Eric Fetty pitching above expectation. They have been brilliant in the month of August. So you can allow Max to build the arm strength back up, because when you want him back out there, you want him to be the same filthy Max Scherzer, not for 5 innings. You want him to be the same filthy Max Scherzer for 7 or 8 or even 9 if it comes to that. So you can allow him to build the arm strength back up. The guy's only pitched one time since the All-Star break. I know it's frustrating. As a fan, you want to see Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer as a player wants to be out on the mound. But this could not be, in terms of an injury situation, working out better for the Nationals. You're gaining ground on all your competitors, and you can bring Max Scherzer back the right way. So when Max comes back to the bump at 60 feet 6 inches away, he's still the same filthy, intimidating pitcher that you hope and expect him to be. We'll hear his conversation with Grant and Danny. By the way, their annual fantasy football draft is today, where they raise money for the Nats Youth Academy. Max and Erica have done amazing job, not only as a baseball player family with the organization, but their philanthropy through causes in the city as well. Certainly exemplary. And you want Max to be healthy. You want him to stick around a while. You don't want arm issues or back issues to crop up, because when you have a back, Clayton Kershaw told Max Scherzer this at the All-Star break, you don't want this, you know, you got to take your time and be patient with it. Back issue turns into shoulder issue, turns into elbow issue, and then you got all kinds of problems. And right now, this is working out, believe it or not, as good as it could for the Nationals in terms of rehabbing Max Scherzer. Last night, of course, this game came down to the 8th inning. Some young fella named Rendon, as I've told you many times on the show, I think he's the best college hitter I've ever seen. That includes former Rice Owl Lance Berkman, like Max, or by like Anthony Rendon, former Rice Owl, played in one of the greatest eras of baseball at Rice University. And, you know, for Anthony Rendon last night, big spot against a guy in Junior Guerra who he had not had success in limited at-bats against. Guerra had just gotten a ridiculous, filthy, under-his-hands fastball and you're thinking to yourself, oh gosh, this is not going the way that we want it. But then Anthony Rendon does what Anthony Rendon does. Key situation, and a 1-1 tie, and all of a sudden, Nats fans were happy.
Now the pause, the kick and the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right center deep. Yelich going back, way back, warning track at the wall. He leaps and he can't get it. Turner held up now around third. He'll score. Rendon standing on second base with another double to give the Nationals the lead. His second two-base hit to drive in Turner tonight. RBI number 94 on double number 32. Off the big wall in right center field. It's the Nationals 2 and the Brewers 1.
Charlie Slows with the call last night right here on 106.7. The Fan, Anthony Rendon. At that point, Twitter goes ablaze. Pay the man. Do this. What a great guy. Pay him. Pay him. Pictures of Brinks trucks. All that stuff for Anthony Rendon. And, you know, again, Anthony Rendon, he's the quiet superstar, man. I'll take the quiet superstar over the guy that has to tell you that he's good all the time. Because more often than not, the guy that has to tell you that he's pretty good, he's pretty average or wants to be good. Anthony Rendon simply steps into the box, hits the baseball, goes down to third, fields the baseball each and every day. And that's what you love about Anthony Rendon. And it's what you love about the Nationals right now. They act like they've been there before. They're not super excited. They win a game. They know they're going to move on to the next day because Milwaukee's a good club. They're capable of coming back and winning the last two games in this series. 8:11 on a Saturday morning. It's Nats First Pitch. Pete Medhurst with you. Coming up, we'll hear from manager Davey Martinez. Get his thoughts on last night's victory and his club persevering. Wednesday, they scored 17 runs to win 17-7. Yesterday, they won 2-1. They've won five in a row. They're winning games in all fashions. That's what good teams do at this time of the year. The Nats now at 66-55. They're just three back of the Braves in the loss column right now in the National League's Eastern Division. Davey Martinez, Max Scherzer still to come. It's Nats First Pitch right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. 8:18 on a Saturday morning. It's Nats First Pitch. Pete Medhurst with you till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. And, you know, last week we were talking about it. Last week was one of the few times where we've actually had to do a Saturday morning show. Remember early in the season, Nats couldn't win on Friday to save their life. And then they hit that stretch where from 19-31, they are to where they are now. And we really hadn't had to do many shows on Saturday morning where the Nats had not found some success. These shows have been fairly easy on a Saturday morning. As this regular season rolls on, Nats and the Milwaukee Brewers coming up today. Patrick Corbin bobblehead day at the ballpark coming up later. So you're going to make sure you arrive early and often so you can get one of, I believe it's the first 25,000 fans. Head to the ballpark today. Get your Patrick Corbin bobblehead. Southpaw a winner last night for the Nationals. Davey Martinez, he, of course, is the manager of the Washington Nationals. And, you know, these press conferences for him getting better and better. And more importantly, they're getting to be like a broken record. You're getting good pitching. You're getting timely hitting. Your team is winning baseball games. That's what it's all about for the Nats manager.
David, can you talk about Patrick Corbin's outing? 40 sliders, obviously slider happy, and the success he had in stranding 10 base runners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the scout report was, you know, to throw breaking balls down in the zone, and he could be really effective when guys start swinging at him, as we know. So he kept us in the ball game, pitched well, got on some jams, pitch count got up there in the sixth inning, and but he gave us what we needed.
You guys were out hit 9-3. Patrick, his command maybe was wavering. Like, is that, what does it say about this team that you go down to win like that? Maybe when you're not at your absolute best.
When your starting pitcher goes out there and competes like Pat did and keeps us in the game, we always have a chance. You know, that's the way we feel. You know, I tell the guys, hey, it only takes one more than the other guys. So just keep playing the game. You know, they played the game. You know, Adam Eaton with an unbelievable bunt, you know, Trey with a great walk. You know, all of a sudden here comes Anthony Rendon with a big, big hit. So that's all we needed today. We just needed two runs. You know, Hauser was actually pretty good. I mean, had a good two-seam curveball, and he started mixing up all his pitches as he went along through the game. So it was just one of those days. You know, hopefully we come back tomorrow and score a bunch of runs. But, you know, for us to come out and win and Doolittle come in and get the save was tremendous.
Obviously, Anthony's been doing this all year, but it seems like lately especially they've been really meaningful hits late in games. What's the confidence level when he's up at the plate in those kind of situations at this point?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, Adam Eaton just playing the game right there, and you got a couple chances, one with Anthony and the other one with Juan behind him. So, but he's been unbelievable all year long, really has. Like,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like I said, you know, he's the guy that makes our lineup go, and you're seeing that right now. I mean, he comes up big for us in all aspects of the game.
After Trey walks, what weighing bunting versus him running, what was your
we gave him a pitch, you know, to run, and then after that, you know, we wanted to bunt him over. We wanted to make sure he got to second base.
What does it say about the personality and mentality of Corbin that he is able to get in those, you know, obviously a 3-0 count against a very, very good hitting club and somehow manages not to lose control each of those at-bats and fights through them as a pitcher to be that successful?
He's very poised, really. I mean, nothing really rattles him out there. He knows when to step off. He knows when to take deep breaths. He knows when to slow down. But he's a gamer. You know, I mean, we talk about, you know, the Scherzers and the Strasburgs, but he's just as competitive as any of them. And when guys get on base, that's when he becomes nails. He really does.
I know you can't get too detailed, but your lefties really handle Yelich very, very well tonight. That probably ended up being a pivotal, enormous thing here. What did you like about what they did? And what did you see about what they were able to execute against him?
You said it. I mean, they executed their pitches. They kept them off balance, and they executed their pitches. I mean, Yelich is a really good hitter, probably one of the best in our league. So, but we handled them all today.
You line up Hudson Strickland for Doolittle. Was that matchup based, or is that sort of in a perfect scenario what you would like to do in a close game?
No, I like the matchups with Hudson right there and Strickland at the bottom. So, able to get that run for Doolittle late.
You had Grace Bowman at that one point, and they bring the lefty up to pinch hit, and you stick with Strickland. Was there a little bit of gamesmanship?
Something there. you know, we got two outs there, and I thought, hey, you know, Strickland, you know, even if he walks this guy, whatever, you know, we got another two more righties up.
Davey Martinez, as the Nationals win last night by a count of 2-1 against the Milwaukee Brewers. Same two teams coming up today, and of course, all the action right here on 106.7 The Fan. 7:05 first pitch tonight, Jordan Lyles, Aníbal Sanchez, and tomorrow now we do know what the pitching matchup will be for tomorrow's series finale at 1:35. It'll be Chase Anderson and Eric Fetty. Again, Max Scherzer going to do a simulated game, continue to build up the arm strength before they cut him loose during the course of a regular game. Max yesterday joining Grant and Danny, updating everybody on his situation. And obviously, he's the best competitor, one of the top three competitors in Major League Baseball. If you were to go around the league, ask every GM or field manager, you know, hey, who are the top three or four competitive guys in the league? And more often than not, across the board, Max Scherzer's name is going to come up off the tongue of every manager. He wants to be back out there. The Nats want to make sure that he's the best Max Scherzer when he gets out there. His conversation with Grant Danny.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm progressing on the program to get back, pitching in the big leagues, and you know, we got it under control and just got to do it. You know, it's a process of trying to heal and strengthen at the same time.
Do you know when you're pitching yet?
No, I don't.
So that's then it's probably not tomorrow, right? You would already know that.
Well, I mean, it's up to the trainers and doctors to make final calls on everything. So for me, that's their call, that's their decisions. And so that I'll follow their lead.
What do they need to see, basically, right? Is it just you going through a couple more workouts? Is it how you're recovering? What are the metrics here to decide when you're going to take the bump?
That's day to day, what I feel and how I'm progressing through it. And I know that as soon as I'm good in their eyes, I'm back out there.
Max Scherzer on Grant and Danny. I'm going to throw him on hold real quick because his phone's breaking up just a little bit. I'm going to see if Dark can work on maybe just making it sound a little bit better because a lot of content that Nats fans want right now that
Absolutely.
We'll get out of him and an opportunity to talk to him that is, you know, fairly rare, obviously, but a platform that we've got. Every homestand all year long, we go on the mound with Max, and we look forward to this segment week in and week out with him. If you missed the news, he went and he had a throw-in session, and they had Anibal Sanchez out there like with a boombox playing all the music, and it went really well. And you just heard him saying, you know, what the trainers need to see. Max, you're on record, it sounds like, though, as to saying you have no interest, or maybe I won't put words in your mouth, but what you wouldn't want to do like a rehab assignment. You just want to pitch in the majors, right?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, every player never wants to have to do a rehab assignment or you know, you just feel like it's just more days away from being a big league team, and if you're ready to go. So, like I said, you know, I made that known, but I'm also smart enough to realize you got to listen to the experts here.
On the mound with Max Scherzer, installed by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Call 877-CALL-FUR for absolutely the best service at absolutely the best price. How frustrating has this process been? You mentioned it, like, you know, you went back out there, thought you're okay, and then the recovery wasn't what you wanted all the way back in July. How annoying and irritating and frustrating has this process been?
It's really because it's a very unique injury in the sense that I could be injured, actually throw at 100%, actually get into a game and make it worse, even though I can be throwing at normal velocity. So that's very, you know, for me, that's very confusing to try to understand everything that's going on with the injury because, I, you know, like I said, I can throw at 100%, get into a game, be throwing, you know, good velocity, and actually do damage. So really, this is an endurance thing. Getting back to 100% and having the pitch count be in a place where we can build it back up.
Max Scherzer on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Yeah, I think that's the one thing we've talked a lot about to kind of go deeper into that for a second is when you do come back, like, how would it work? I mean, I wouldn't want to be Davey going out there to get you off the mound after, like, 3 2/3 innings because you got to 60-some pitches. I mean, do you see it being, like, a real...
No, I do see it being like that.
You do?
Right, you have to respect where I'm at and respect how this happened and you know, some of the symptoms that I've had to deal with and where, you know, for me, I'm very cognizant of that. You know, I've definitely had a, you know, as I replay everything that's happened over, say, the past 6 weeks, of trying to figure out exactly how to communicate everything I feel so that everybody knows what to do and how to handle it.
Any tweaks that you could see to kind of work around it? Or is it just now that you've had the rest, you can just be yourself and not have to worry about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal here is to go out there and just pitch, and you don't have to worry about it. So for me, you know, like I said, you know, I'm progressing in the right way. I feel good, you know, through a good sim game. So now I'm just progressing to when I throw next.
You guys, as a club, were 19-13 in the time that you've been hurt without you, which is stunning. I mean, I would not have had that in the office pool. But a big reason for that was Joe Ross, who was having a real tough season, and Eric Fetty, who's been up and down at times. Both of them really stepped up huge. What are your thoughts on what those guys have provided and just trying to keep this team afloat until you got back?
Well, yeah, we know they're good pitchers, and maybe they, you're never as good as you are, and you're never as bad as you are. And I think they were hitting some skids through the season where, they weren't, everybody wants to pile on how bad, pitchers can pitch, but you're never as low as you quite as think you are. And obviously they were going to start pitching better, and they've gone out there and thrown some really, really good outings for us and provide depth into the bullpen so that, everybody's just going out there and you're getting consistent baseball. Because at the end of the day, starting pitching, that's the backbone of the team, going out there and just providing the stability for everybody to go out there and do their job. So they've really done a great job over the past 6 weeks. And so, hopefully they keep it going because we're going to need their starts as much as anybody else's.
Max Scherzer with us here on Grant and Danny. Max, the trend in the league right now is that every team is fielding a bunch of like 19 and 20-year-olds to keep payroll down and maximize value that way. You guys aren't doing that, and it's actually a lot of fun watching these vets, watching guys like you and Howie Kendrick and Brian Dozier and Gerardo Parra, guys that have been around for a minute. It looks like it's, from the outside looking in, a lot of fun. Is that kind of the experience that you guys are having?
Yeah, we're having a good time. We got a good clubhouse vibe going, and we really feed off each other well. We got some really good personalities, and so we really gel together, really come together, and know what it's going to take to win, and we're having a fun time doing it. And so everybody's got a good personality with it. It's really fitting in well, and I think that's why we're just playing good baseball.
Max, I should have looked this up before we had you on, but as far as an actual playoff race like this, in Washington, they've never had one because they've either not made the playoffs or they've run away with the division. When's the last time, like night in and night out in September, you were grinding your way into the postseason in your career?
I definitely remember there was a couple years in Detroit there where
what's that like?
I don't know, because you play so many games, if you get caught up in trying to scoreboard watch the other team, you really get like, I don't know, that this doesn't, this is not a good like vibe. You always worry about just how you're going to play. You just always worry about trying to win a series and then try, or if you can be lucky enough and try to sweep a team. When you play good baseball, the game just takes care of itself. The results take care of itself. The moment you start wishing, if we start wishing, hey, we can get a playoff that the Braves lose, like, no, I'd rather go to the park every single day knowing that, hey, we're going to win. If we win, we can get to the playoffs. So, trying to scoreboard watch really in baseball, I'm sure it's great for a fan, but as for a player, when you're in the thick of the race, maybe until that last series where, it's literally, could be it, but not in the middle of August or much less September.
All right, Max, the Scherzer Showdown. It's tomorrow. You got your fantasy prep done at all? Will you work on that in the morning before you come over? Danny and I are excited to come host again.
We got a good clubhouse thing going. So I'm familiar with what's going on in the league, and I don't know where I'm picking yet, but when I do, I know who the players are. So we'll have a good time tomorrow.
By the way, he will never reveal a single trade secret. The competitiveness does not turn off. I'll tell you that right now. Max, love it, buddy. Let's look forward to seeing you tomorrow, man. Glad to hear good news.
All right. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
That is Max Scherzer with Grant and Danny. And, of course, today their annual fantasy football draft. And you could argue that, Max Scherzer, he's one of those guys that he could easily be one of us one day if he wants to. He could be a pitching coach. He could be a manager. That dude is multi-talented, multifaceted. He could definitely do it all. 8:33, it's a Saturday morning. Pete Medhurst with you. It's Nat's First Pitch. Great to have you with us. Coming up, we're going to go around the league. We're going to get you in touch with what happened last night, get you up to date on the math and how it pertains to the Nationals. Right now, they're at the top of a pretty significant table, and they're closing in on the top of another one. They're getting to a point where they've been before. They were at 4.5 games multiple times. Can they make the Braves sweat even more by trimming that deficit even more? They're 3 back overall in the loss column. We'll talk about what happened last night in Major League Baseball. Coming up, it's Nat's First Pitch on a Saturday morning right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. You know that voice if you know sports. And yes, that was a voice in the baseball booth last night. Bill Walton with Jason Benetti on NBC Sports Chicago. The White Sox were in Anaheim to take on the Angels. And I am a huge Bill Walton fan. I've got a personalized autograph picture from Bill Walton. He and his wife, Lori, tremendous. And he was with Jason Benetti. And there, if you go through, you can go through Twitter and just go to things like White Sox Talk. It's a great Twitter handle for some of these cuts. And you can see, like, one of the other ones last night was, I don't know if I could get up to it in time here, but obviously, I think it was Lucas Giolito struck out the side in an inning, and Bill says to Jason Benetti, "Watch the record for strikeouts in an inning." And Jason Benetti goes, "Right now, three, Bill." So it's just, I love seeing people go out of the box over the schedule of 162 games. I don't think you should go away from your main guys. I don't think you should have 100 guys. But every now and then, something like this, Benetti and Bill, of course, do some games on ESPN during college basketball season, and Jason is terrific. And if you Google Jason Benetti, there are, you know, there are a lot of great people that do what we do. I mean, I'm blessed to have the opportunity that I've had this year, and I will have at least four more games coming up later this week in Pittsburgh and Chicago with the Nationals, and just to be able to do 12.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
12 Nats games this year. There are so many people that are so talented and can do this on an everyday basis. We're lucky here with Bob Carpenter, Charlie, and Dave in terms of play-by-play men. They're fantastic. You know, Bob's been doing play-by-play for a long time. Charlie and Dave have been doing play-by-play for a long time, and we are very lucky here in this city to have them as play-by-play guys. And Jason Benetti's story is amazing. I would encourage you to Google it and get a little bit of a feel for what Jason Benetti has overcome to do what he has done, and he does it at an incredibly high level. In that game last night, as we mentioned, Lucas Giolito getting the win, White Sox beating the Angels by a score of 7-2 last night. Lucas Giolito struck out 11. James McCann, who has had a very hot week. If he is like your catcher, and let's face it, in fantasy baseball, sometimes you just have dudes at catcher. You know, I mean, I've got Kurt Suzuki as my catcher because you just got to have somebody that you know is going to play on a regular basis and maybe give you some offense. James McCann's had a hell of a week for you if you have him as your fantasy catcher. So Lucas Giolito struck out 11. He's now 13-6 on the season. Six innings, six hits, walked three, gave up two earned runs in that contest as the White Sox pick up the victory in that one. Now, division leaders squaring off down in Atlanta last night as the Braves and Dodgers went at it. And it ended up being a battle of the bullpens late in the contest. But, you know, as we mentioned earlier, we talked about it earlier, you know, Sean Newcomb a couple of years ago looked like he was going to be a top-notch starter for the Braves. Now he's pitching in relief, and last night the Dodgers got to him. He takes the loss. He's now 5-3 on the year. Adam Kolarik gets the win in relief for the Dodgers, who rallied from a 3-2 deficit to win it by a score of 8-3. The Dodgers, 81 wins this season at this point, tied with the Yankees for most in Major League Baseball. And the Braves are the only other National League team with any more than 65 wins coming into yesterday's play. The Nats have joined them now at 66. Atlanta's got 72 on the year. Kenta Maeda faced off with Mike Soroka in that one last night. And Soroka, really tough again. And, you know, Brian Snicker went and got him, and the bullpen, unfortunately, could not help out the Braves in that one last night, as Max Muncy hit a three-run go-ahead home run in a four-run seventh inning as the Dodgers pick up the victory. Dave Roberts saying a guy like Max Muncy makes his job easier.
He's been great. Congratulations to Max. That's a nice feather in his cap. Back-to-back 30 homer seasons. He's a baseball player, and when you have a roster full of Justin Turners and Max Muncy's, makes me look really good. Makes the Dodgers look really good.
Dave Roberts, love him. Humble manager. Did like how he defended his team too in Arizona, telling the Diamondbacks, "Get back in there. Just get in there. We you beat us one time, but look at the records. We're much better than you. Just get back in your dugout." And Dave Roberts done a hell of a job with the Dodgers. The only thing they haven't done is win the World Series. And they have certainly put themselves in position here to do it again. And that's the one thing that continues to, elude them at this point. But that's about it. 13 innings last night. Oakland beat Houston by a score of 3-2. As the win goes to in relief, Lou Trevino gets the win. He's now 4-5 on the season. Cy Snead takes the loss. As the A's, look, I mean, the Astros have been sensational for multiple stretches this year where they've just played ridiculous baseball. But the A's, again, I mean, here they are. They are decidedly, in terms of the way they spend, a small market club. We know that. But, here they are at 70-52. And they continue to be, great player development organization. They continue to get results. Robbie Grossman singling in the winning run with two outs in the 13th inning last night for the A's in that one. Now, whether that, equates to a potential wild card position for the A's, we will see. So much toughness over in the American League side in the chase for not only divisions but wild cards. I mean, Cleveland, Tampa, Oakland, all right there. The Red Sox, a team that obviously coming off a world championship, you expect them to contend again. They're in the danger zone. I mean, they're seven games in the loss column right now out of the second wild card spot that Tampa and Oakland are tied with 52 losses for right now. So, the Red Sox got to get it in gear here. Everybody else pretty much now out of it on the American League side. The National League side is completely different. You still have mathematical chances for teams like not only the Phillies, Cubs, and Brewers. The Mets still believe they're very much in it. Giants mathematically still right there. Only three games behind the Phillies and Cubs for the second wild card spot. And, the Reds, up until their three-game sweep of the hands of the Nats, that was a club that was right there and obviously lost last night as well to St. Louis, got beat pretty good. So the Reds starting to mathematically find it a little bit more difficult, six back in the loss column overall. But that's a club that you talk about, if you're doing a bar graph or anything like that, stock up. Put the colored mark going in an upward direction, I think, on the Reds. I don't think there's any question about that. Cincinnati's headed in the right direction with a lot of the pieces that they have so far this year. Meanwhile, New York Mets last night, Mike Montgomery tossed six innings, gave up just one run. Royals beat the Mets by a score of 4-1. Big series over the weekend. Mets certainly shot their shot against the Nationals, 1-2 of 3, but it's been a struggle since then. Nicky Lopez doubled in the go-ahead run for the Royals in the fifth. Ian Kennedy with his 21st save of the season. Montgomery saying that his arm is now capable of pitching as a starter, as after pitching in the bullpen all year for the Cubs before he came to Kansas City.
Finally kind of stretched out to be a starter, full length. And I felt good tonight. And he said, he told me we were going to go to the bullpen, which, I'm perfectly fine with. I pitched it, as a starter, you're just going to pitch until they take you out.
And he did that and did it well last night in that contest. Cincinnati, St. Louis, Dexter Fowler, homer, drove in four runs as the Cardinals defeated the Reds 13-4. Paul Goldschmidt also homered and drove in three runs. Adam Wainwright out-dueling Luis Castillo in that one. Wainwright says he and Joey Votto have had some great battles over the years, and always fun to pitch against a guy like that.
Anytime you take one of the best hitters of our generation out of a lineup, it helps. But he, you know, I was tough on him early in my first half of my career, and he's been tough on me the last half year, the last few years especially.
Meanwhile, last night in Boston, Mookie Betts homered. Red Sox hammered the Orioles 9-1. Pulled away late in this game. Trey Mancini doubled in the only run for the Orioles. Aaron Brooks took the loss for Baltimore, which has lost 10 out of 11. Why? Obviously, they need somebody to throw the innings. But Aaron Brooks had been released by Oakland, and now the Orioles picked him up. I don't know if they just picked him up to get somebody to throw some innings or they thought they could salvage him a little bit. But clearly, he has really struggled since coming over from Oakland. Rick Porcello gave up one run in six innings for Alex Cora last night.
Just got it done. Sometimes we get cut up on hard hit balls and exit velocity, all that. You know what? You just got to get outs. And he did an outstanding job giving us six, and we took it from there.
Yeah, I love that. Just got to get outs. It's real simple. Don't overcomplicate baseball. Really is. Meanwhile, Masahiro Tanaka gave up two runs, four hits. Yankees beat the Indians 3-2 at Yankee Stadium. Tanaka picked up his ninth win. Aroldis Chapman, his 34th save. Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres with runs scoring singles for New York. New York has won 6 of 7. Jose Ramirez, Yasiel Puig both hit solo homers off of Tanaka in the contest. Aaron Boone happy with his starter last night.
I thought he threw the ball really well. It was really sharp. The depth on his slider was really good. The split was there for him, and the ability to mix and match the fastball in, out, up, and down. So another sharp, big outing for him.
And we talk about bullpens. We talk about poopy pens all year on the Junkies every weekday morning, 6 to 10 right here on 106.7 The Fan and radio.com. Right now, Chicago having that issue with their pen. Kevin Newman hit a single up the middle for a 3-2 walk-off win for the Pirates, who have just been god-awful since the All-Star break. This was a team led by Josh Bell that you thought, okay, this group seems to have some potential. They have been decimated, though, in terms of starting pitching injuries all year long. They've now lost Jameson Taillon. He'll be out next year because he had Tommy John surgery earlier this week, and they have missed other members of the rotation throughout the course of this year due to injury. But pinch hitter Cole Tucker walked with the bases loaded to tie the game. And Kevin Newman, hello Newman, you know I had to say that, everybody does when they see Newman. He gets the walk-off hit for the Pirates last night. For Joe Maddon and the Cubs, they just haven't been able to get the key outs when they need it. And last night, not much history against Pirates starter Joe Musgrove kept the offense down.
Our numbers versus him going into the game tonight, it was something like 3-for-40-something from Castellanos, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, and Schwarber. I mean, as a group, we have not hit him in the past. So that was a concern.
And it turned out to be that way as the Cubs not scoring runs and not getting pitching out of the bullpen. And when you're playing a lot of close games like that, that Central Division has just been silly all year long between those respective sides. I mean, it's been good battles. Obviously, we know there's no love lost between the Pirates and the Reds. And, you know, the Cubs right now going through a bit of a struggle. And if you're the teams in the wild card, you got to take advantage. Phillies have taken advantage of that this week, playing their way right back into it. And obviously for them, some drama throughout this week with the Bryce Harper home runs helping them to victories. And they get another one last night. They're now sitting at 64-58. They're 2.5 back of the Nationals for the top wild card spot overall. 3 back in the loss column. And Bryce Harper having one of those weeks where he's starting to pick it up indeed. Meanwhile, Little League World Series yesterday. Kids from Loudoun South, they're pretty good. Not only are they pretty good, but they threw a combined no-hitter yesterday to get the first win after getting rained out the day before. Since they expanded the American bracket from 8 to 16 teams, no team losing their first game has ever gone on to win the American Championship and play the international winner in the World Series. So a big day indeed for the Loudoun South team as they win over Rhode Island by a score of 3-0. They broke it open yesterday. Brady Yates. Brady Yates, by the way, young man that has a voice as deep as any of us here at 106.7 The Fan. That dude crushed one in the fifth inning to break a scoreless tie. And that's a very talented team for manager Alan Bowden, as they will now play on Sunday against Minnesota, who beat Kentucky by a score of 2-1. The team from Coon Rapids, Minnesota, winning over Kentucky in a really good game. It was a 2-1 game. But you look around, Elizabeth, New Jersey, winners in the Mid-Atlantic region. They were 6-2 winners over Oregon last night, the Northwest champion. Hawaii got a win against Louisiana. And as I said going into this thing, New Jersey, South Riding, Virginia, and Hawaii, in my mind, were the three top teams on the American side to keep an eye on. So we'll see if the boys from Loudoun South can get the job done, as, again, they will play Sunday taking on Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And I think in terms of the bracket, that played to the Loudoun South team's side with the way that bracket came out, because I truly believe that the other side was a smidge tougher bracket, and we'll see if the boys from the Southeast can get the job done. They've had a terrific team. Brady Yates with two hits yesterday. Great pitching from that club as well. And Alan Bowden managed a great game. Justin Lee got to the pitch limit so he could pitch Sunday. Coach Bowden took him out. And then Liam Thien came into the game. He kept the no-hitter going. And then Chase Obstgarden, who may have been the best of the three, he came in the last inning, needed to get the last two outs, and he threw absolute flames for Loudoun South. So a combined no-hitter from those three guys as they win it by a score of 3-0. That'll do it for us this morning. Our thanks to you, as always, for listening in and your interest in Nationals baseball here on your flagship station, 106.7 The Fan. 7:05 tonight, it's Patrick Corbin bobblehead night. Get to the park early. First 25,000 fans get the bobblehead for number 46 for your Washington Nationals, as the Brew Crew and the Nats go at it again tonight. Charlie and Dave have our pregame coverage starting at 6:35. Until I join you tomorrow for Nats Talk Live following the game, my name's Pete Medhurst. Thanks for joining us. For Jim Jester, we'll see you next week right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.